are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Come rally with the Dog Pound at the 2015 Cleveland Browns Fan Fest on Saturday, June 6th at the Cleveland Convention Center. Meet Browns players and alumni, enjoy interactive player exhibits, and hear from the Browns coaches and front office members and more. It's going to be an awesome event. Be there. Tickets go on sale Thursday, April the 23rd at 11 a.m. on clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, but the big star in Berea today, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. He addressed the media earlier, and here is that press conference.
It's great having our players back in the building. This is always a big day for the coaching staff. I mean, we've missed having them here. I don't know if I can say that's a mutual feeling, whether they've missed us, but we've certainly missed them. From the season ends and the way our season ended, especially, you have that bad taste in your mouth, and obviously made some staff changes and analyzed our system and what we, from a personnel standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, from a structure standpoint, and made a lot of changes and a lot of thoughts moving forward and have been planning for this day for a couple months now. And this is really the process of building the team for the 2015 season started today. And it's good to get the new faces here along with the old ones, to just get everybody together and beginning to bond. And you'd like to think that the start of the season is so far off, and it truly isn't. We have them for 9 weeks now, and then there'll be that little bit of a break in late June, early July, and then we'll be right back at it in training camp. So we get 2 weeks of phase one, 3 weeks of phase two, which is just essentially phase one, but we're allowed to go out on the field. Then 3 weeks of OTA practices. And then we'll have the mandatory mini camp. I believe it's the third week of June. But again, it's just 9 weeks, and we have a lot to get done. It's really on two different fronts. Offensively, I don't want to say we're starting new, because there'll be a lot of carryover. A lot of carryover with the terminology. Having Andy Moeller and George DeLeon still here as the offensive line coaches, I think that's a great benefit. They're both outstanding teachers, and were very influential last year in what we did, and there's a lot of carryover from a playbook standpoint. It's a lot easier to keep the terminology same for the players and have the coaches adapt. Flip will be the first one to tell you that he was able to adjust to some of the terminology that we had before, so it's not starting over brand new from a system standpoint. Defensively, I know those guys are excited going into year two, just kind of having so many more answers to the test, whether that's knowing our players better, knowing our opponents better, and just our own scheme better, and then having the ability to get through that film and some of the problems that are well documented, looking to get them fixed, and today's also the start of that as well. From an injury standpoint, it was several guys coming off surgeries. They all appear to be on schedule at this point. I'm not a big fan of talking about that in the off season. But these guys have all been very quietly working hard to rehab, and look forward to getting them back at some point. I had everybody in the team meeting stand up yesterday and give us the most interesting place where they'd been since the season ended. There were some interesting answers, but we had four or five guys weren't real happy. They just kind of said that they never really got that far out of the training room. That was the most interesting place they had been. So we had Armani with the knee, Michael Bowie with the shoulder, Eubanks with the shoulder, Kitch's leg, Max leg, Mingo's shoulder, Phil Taylor with the knee. So those guys are all was all very encouraging. Everything went well, and that we expect them all. It'll be at varying times. Some guys will be limited through the spring. Some guys will be full go. Some guys will be full go start at training camp. But it's good to have everybody back. And this is always a very, very positive day. It's a day that's been circled on our calendar as coaches for a long time.
Speaking of what you did in the most interesting place. Was there a need for Johnny to address the team? Can you just describe the interaction, what's taken place with him?
When he's here in the building, he's just one of the guys. So there was no big part of the team meeting where he got up and spoke. That the interaction, I know he's has guys that he's close to. I'm sure has had interaction with even before he stepped foot in the building yesterday. So, I'm sure he'll handle that, as he sees fit. But, for us as a staff, I mean, he's here. He's one of our, I'm not sure the exact count of guys we have here, but he's just one of the guys here working hard.
Do you know whether he's still here? Joe Haynes said that he stayed here until 3 o'clock yesterday. Do you know whether he's still here now?
I don't know that. I don't know if he's here. I know some of the guys. After the allotted time is up, I know a lot of guys have lunch and they stick around and do some extra stuff. So it was my understanding that he was one of those guys yesterday.
In his statement last week, he talked about having to make private apologies. Did he sit down and talk to you one on one?
I've spoken with him, and that's, you use the right words, private.
Was he able to work out during the off season at all?
It's my understanding that he was able to.
Coach, Johnny Manziel is out of rehab. He's in the public eye once again. Here, just in the 2 days that you've seen him in the building, do you see any difference in his work ethic? Do you expect any difference in his work ethic?
I see him right now as just one of several of our guys. Cleveland Browns, they're all here. They're all working hard, especially on offense. They have a new system to learn. And I know he's, I sat in on the quarterback meeting yesterday, and every guy in that room is raring to go.
Do you see it right now, as I know you guys have kind of talked about Josh McCown likely being your starter next year? Are the other three guys, Thad, Connor, and Johnny, kind of all sort of right after Josh? I mean, you don't have.
Yeah, we're a ways away from just kind of worrying about how the depth part of it shakes out. So again, they're all in that room and they're all trying to learn it. Josh obviously has an advantage having been in this system where there's a lot of carryover before, because he worked with Flip before, and I know there's a lot of those similar roots are in there, but we don't really kind of get into depth charts and where guys are. I mean, this is day one. Guys are working out with Coach Ricci, Coach Wolf, and Coach Keys in the weight room, and they get 2 hours of classroom work with their coordinators and the position coaches.
Important point, Mike, just to clarify. We should not have you as saying that McCown is the number one quarterback.
No, I mean, at this point, I mean, we don't have a game this weekend. So I'm not going to get into penciling in guys and, hey, this guy's a starter. It's because we thrive on competition. So I'm not prepared to make that statement yet.
Joe Haynes said that he had a heart-to-heart with Manziel yesterday. He likes where his mind's at, and he can tell something's different about him, and he thinks he's motivated. What sense do you get of his mentality?
I've seen that as well, but I do think, and this is the one comment that I'll share that Johnny's made, because he'll be the first one to say it. Don't judge me on my words. Judge me on my actions, and that's something that in the past, that even I've been critical of him, where, hey, the actions have to match what he's saying. He's saying the right things, but it's not adding up by what he's doing. And that's really been a big part of his message coming out.
Did he use the playbook at all during the last couple months, or is that just the CBA prevent?
What's that again, Jeremy?
Was he allowed to even view the playbook at all the last few months or get into the offense?
Yeah, that's outside of the from a CBA standpoint, he can't have meetings and go over, any of that stuff. It's all pretty clearly spelled out. We can't have any interaction other than, hey, how you doing?
Like, I don't know, know if you've been asked about this in the offseason, but the comments a few weeks ago by Chris Mortensen saying that you guys have not gone away from Johnny Manziel, but you're not expecting a lot from him. Can you comment on that?
I think you used the number 90%, which is, I use that number 90% too. It's you know, about the accuracy of reports that are out there of being, you know, 90% inaccurate. I don't know where he would have gotten that from. You know, very much in our plans, and as we said, it kind of hit his career with us, just hit the pause button. And we've said this before, that got to get himself right as a person first before we worry about Johnny the football player. So that's, I filed that one in the ridiculous category when it was brought to my attention.
A couple times we'll hear about Johnny being one of the guys, one of many. Is that going to be kind of the team's approach going forward? And can you do that with a guy with his public persona?
I think you can, because a lot of that persona is outside of the building. I don't think he wants it. He doesn't carry himself that way. And certainly when he's here, he wants to be. He is one of the guys and wants to be treated. He doesn't expect treatment any other way. And for where he was a year ago as a backup quarterback, and essentially, you know, he's in that quarterback room today, and not you would just addressed it. Consider him the starter. That's how he's going to be treated as well. So I know that persona stuff is out there. But if you ask the players, and they're probably the best ones to ask, I don't think they see that they feel the need or have ever felt the need to treat him any differently.
With given the moves players acquired and lost since last season ended, is your roster better or not as good as it was?
Well, that would fall into, you know, making that judgment of looking at our roster on paper, which to me it's on the field where we'll be judged. So that we look at the moves that we made as we felt were very positive, but it's all going to come out to how does this group play together. And when you lose some guys and you add some new, especially at some key positions, it's not just the talent alone or the past production alone. It's chemistry. It's how do these guys fit in? How do they fit in the locker room? How do they interact with each other? And now drop on top of it too, you have a new offense coordinator, some new faces on the offensive staff. You're throwing a lot of new together, and I'm very interested to see, you know, how that will all hash out. But we feel very positive about it. But it's again ultimately judged on how things go in the fall.
Here again with a week away from the draft, once again with two first round picks. Given some of the immaturity issues you guys had last year with top picks, not just Johnny, but Justin, Terrence, what were the lessons that you can take away from the first year in the draft, and then what sort of opportunity is this now in a week when you have?
Well, I think one thing, and I've talked about this before, is one thing we don't want to do is overreact to that, that we have a process that we go through where we, in researching these players, that we don't want to just go to a knee-jerk reaction and say, hey, if the guy has, you know, any type of issue in his background that he's off the board, you know, then our draft board, we would be able to, this our draft board would fit on that. So I think it's important that we get a good sense of who these players are coming in and take advantage of as much, you know, the chances we get to interact with them. And I just feel so much better in year two. And to me, it was a natural thing that between Ray's staff and the coaching staff, just getting on the same page, I just feel, hopefully, you know, Ray will be able to speak to this as well, that they're just, from an evaluation of player standpoint, that we're a lot more on the same page this year. Just year one, you're usually all over the map. You have grades from the previous fall, and it was for a different system. And now that the scouting department has a better feel for who we are and what we're looking for, I just feel we're a lot more on the together on the prospective draft picks.
I assume you've gone over everything going into your second year to see what was good and bad from last year. Is the
several times
command, is champ command different for this getting set for this draft now?
what's that, chain of command?
Has there been any policy, just from last year to this year, have you changed the chain of command?
For the draft?
Yeah.
No, and that's that's a better question for Ray, but coaches are very much involved in it, but there's no, you know, Ray's in charge of the draft. He's in charge of the 53-man roster and the practice squad. But I don't think he sees it that way. I mean, I know he'll say it's final call on it, but coaches are very involved in it, and I think that's a big part of the process is making sure that we are on the same page and we view players the same, and that we all feel good about the players that we select and add to this roster.
That 16th game last year, so much happened just before it and after it. Connor Shaw's kind of gotten totally overlooked what he did in that game. Do you have a different opinion of him as a future quarterback as a result of that game? And where does he stand in the pecking order of things without depth chart being involved?
Yeah, no, he's definitely in the mix. I mean, he's a guy that – and he proved it because he went out on a Sunday in the NFL and he performed. It didn't come as a big surprise that he was able to do some of the things that he did because he had shown it on the practice field. But Connor's he's easy to overlook, very quiet, doesn't say a lot. You know, it's like he's on a budget for words for the year. But I thought he did a good job that week. I mean, I think he spoke more that week than he had all season because he actually had to call plays in the huddle instead of working them off a scout card. No, but he's I think that's just kind of how he's been his career, that he's not the tallest and he's not, doesn't have the biggest arm and just doesn't from a measurable standpoint, but in his own way, he's got a very subtle it factor to him. And I think guys responded to him that week, and he certainly through that week and how he played has earned the right to be in that quarterback room this year and be a part of it.
You knew Joe Hayden as a player. Have you seen him grow kind of as a leader in this past year that you've been here? Obviously, you brought Dansby and Whitner in to kind of be the leaders there, but has Joe kind of taken more of a leadership role just in the 1 year you've been here?
Yeah, it's hard to say because I wasn't here before to know, how vocal he was or what kind of leader he was, but Joe's been great for us, and it's nice to have that kind of personality in the room. I think you need a couple of those guys that, as you probably know, it's hard to be in a bad mood around Joe. Just always has a smile on his face, always very positive, kind of like me. But he's been great, and I think a big part of it too is because I think his confidence has grown, and I think one of the reasons why is the guys that we have coaching him I think are outstanding, and he realizes that, and he's bought in, and I think it made some subtle improvements to his game, his technique, and I think has raised his game to another level. And I also think when he got his contract, I don't know if you guys asked him this or not, but I think when he got his contract, he felt some of the responsibility there of, hey, listen, this team's invested in me. That's a two-way street. And I think he took it upon himself when he saw some young corners in that room and some of the other DBs and to kind of step up, he and Whitner, to lead them.
It didn't surprise you that he would reach out to Gilbert and invite him down?
No, not at all. It would have surprised me if he hadn't.
Trading up in the draft still a possibility for a quarterback, or have you guys taken that off the table?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's at the point where all the teams call around, they call each other, and hey, I think everybody says, hey, we're looking to trade up, we're looking to trade down. I think you never truly know till you get close. I think people naturally assume that we can be a part of it because of having the extra pick, having a little bit more ammunition than some other teams would. But it just makes for good filler material for you guys, good draft talk.
Do you get a lot of extra calls, though, from other teams as a result?
Well, I think all the teams communicate. And I think we showed last year that we're willing to move. So I think when you get that reputation of moving either way, that teams, because it always takes two, you know, you got to have a willing trade partner. And, you know, we showed last year that we were willing to move. So I'm sure given the picks that we have this year that Ray's phone will be ringing.
So you are still open to the option of trading up for Mariota?
Sure. Why not? No, that's, as we get closer, we'll really hone in on the draft strategy stuff. And just my opinion, and I talked about it last year, is it's all about value, is making sure that you're getting value for the pick and you're adding value to your roster and players that can help you in the short term and in the long term.
What kind of chance does Phil Taylor have to be a very good answer at the nose?
I think he flashed last year his ability in this system to make plays, and we're optimistic that he's going to recover fully from the injury and be a big factor for us.
John's handled himself so far in your role in offense. Have you done anything the first 2 days?
Yeah, I've sat in the back of the room with my notebook and been like a rookie quarterback. So I've taken a lot of notes and sat in the quarterback meeting as well as his install meetings, but. I thought Flip was outstanding. I mean, it was his day that I think he'll tell you that he's prepared for this day for a long time, and he hit it out of the park. I mean, it was I told the players in the team meeting, you know, that I can tell you why I hired the guy, but when you have your first meeting with him, you'll see why. And to me, it comes down to it's passion and it's energy, and that he was great. I think it would be difficult to doze off in one of his meetings. I'll put it that way.
What was your thinking in maybe trying to experiment a little bit with Amari Bryant as an outside linebacker? Why do you think that might work?
I just think his skill set. I don't know how much if we do put him there. I don't know how much we'll drop him. But I think it also falls back on the concept of. You fit your system to your players, not your players to your system. So we have a guy, we talk about wanting to get our best 11 out there, that if he is, shows that ability to rush the passer, especially on early downs, it makes sense to get him out there. I mean, we had, when I was in New York and we had Brian Thomas and Calvin Pace were really mirrored guys and they both could rush, they both could drop. We played a certain way. And then when we went to Buffalo and had a Mario Williams who was more, we wanted him going at the quarterback and very few times going the other direction, adapted it to take advantage of that skill set. And I see this as a very, very similar situation.
Mike, how beneficial is it for the terminology of the offense to be similar as it was last year, especially for a young player like Manziel, who's seemingly the learning curve in the NFL in general still seems to be pretty steep?
No, I think it's helpful because I think we all know that the kind of the history of offensive coordinators and the number of systems that our veteran players have had to play in. So for us to be able to carry over not just the terminology, but like I said, about half that coaching staff as well. You know, having Wilbert and Brian Angelico and Andy and George, who I already mentioned, I think that's been a big plus. But it's I think they kind of took the – it was like best hits. They took what they liked from the previous system and then build it around what Flip wanted to bring to the table as well. And I think they did a good job of kind of building it from scratch and making it a much more of a logical teaching progression. You know, certain letters, words that start with certain letters meant certain things. And I thought there was they compartmentalized it real well. I think made it very player-friendly from a learning standpoint.
Everything that you guys have to go through with him.
I just think that's a. I don't know if I can answer that question. I don't see it as, he's putting us through something or it's been a huge negative. I mean, this is a guy that's had some off the field, as any other player. If they had off the field issues that we would handle it the same way and we're going to coach him hard. We obviously saw a lot of ability in him last year to draft him where we did, and we're just very much looking forward to getting him back out there on the field. I know he's looking forward to it as well.
Where's the organization with Gibson regarding the contract situation?
Yeah, I don't like talking about that stuff. And I tell the players this too, that you never want the business side to affect the football side. And it's obviously a very positive thing in my mind that we had a player. Here's a guy that was undrafted that played well enough to warrant, getting himself, going into that second contract, a sizable second contract. So I see that as a positive. And I think we're very optimistic we'll get that worked out. But Gip's a guy that this is all voluntary. He does not need to be here. So I don't have much of a comment on that, other than it's, something where we're very hopeful that'll get done. But like I said, it's a good problem to have when you're worried about when you have a good player and you're wanting to pay him.
Is anyone else know
McCown better? What kind of vibe are you getting from McCown?
Yeah, I think he spoke today. I mean, Josh he's very positive. He sees himself as a leader, but also sees himself as part of that leadership is helping the younger players. And this is a guy that's been a lot of places, has seen a lot. Like I said, he's very positive, and I think he's going to be an asset for the Browns both on and off the field.
Is anyone else not here?
We had a handful of guys that weren't here. It was all, I'm not going to say excused because it's voluntary, but it was all personal reasons they'll be here. Some will get here today, some tomorrow, but they were all guys that reached out to me that I was well aware of. And it was just maybe three or four guys. I know, but you're going to be okay anyway. You know there's no